Proverbs chapter 13, please. Esther's bridal shower is on the bulletin board. If you have any questions, you can see Sarah or Ashley, and they will help you out with that. They are both here this evening, so they can help you with that. Ladies, I'm going to continue and hope to finish what we started saying 3 or 4 weeks ago. This is our third or fourth lesson on child discipline. I shouldn't be that long tonight. Maybe we can get caught up on some missionary letters. But in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24, the Bible says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." It says in 22:15, and I'm not going to look at all these again this week, but just to remind us, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." We ended last week and we made this point. Discipline must make effective use of the rod. It is to be used when a child is rebellious, because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So we know that. A biblical rod is a rod of correction. Our children, all of our children, have needed correcting. From time to time, they have to be corrected. Not just when you're frustrated with the child. It's used to correct the child that refused to listen to some verbal commands and instruction. It's used to correct disobedience, and it's used to correct rebellion. Now, in chapter 23, in verse 13, it says, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." Now, that can sound like some strong language, but really what it is this. It needs to be used with the proper force or enough force to correct the child, but it is not to be abusive. Nobody has a right or should ever abuse a child under any circumstance whatsoever. But it's got to be more than this. You know, that's not going to get anybody's attention. You know, it's got to be done with enough force to correct the child. It should hurt, and it should hurt enough to get the point across and to bring real heart-level submission. Well, I don't want to hurt my child. Part of the correction with the rod is to hurt, make the pain real. I mean, you know, when they get older, your kids get older, you don't spank teenagers. I don't think too many people do anyway. But they still say the same, but the principle is still the same. You got to hit them where it hurts. Well, if you take a 16-year-old, where might you hit them that it might hurt? Well, today, if you took their cell phone away, it would absolutely just destroy and crush them. You know, they'd be hurting big time. Or if they have a job and they have a little bit of an allowance, you may, and I know parents that have done this, they've actually fined their own children. You know, I never did that personally. I don't think, did we ever do that? Probably didn't give you guys any money, so you didn't, no need, you can't get blood out of a stone, they say, so it wouldn't have done us any good. But I do know of some parents that do that. And obviously, if you hit anybody in the wallet, it hurts. So that was the philosophy behind that. That's just different things that people do when kids get older. The idea is when your child is young enough, you use the rod enough on them, and so when they get older, they really don't need the rod anymore. If the rod is used and the child persists in disobedience, it probably has not been used sufficiently or correctly. Now, you need to get the desired result. And what is the desired result of child discipline or correction? It's submission. It's brokenness. You know what the hardest part with child discipline and child training is? Consistency. The hardest part is to be consistent. You get to the place where you say, I don't want to do this anymore. I've had enough. I'm frustrated. I'm tired. I'm whatever. I remember sometimes when our kids were little, that was a long time ago, and I can't say that I'm sorry that I'm having my kids little, that those days are past. I can't say that I'm sorry about that, but I remember some Sunday nights coming to church and thinking to myself, why did I come to church tonight? Bring them in, take them out, bring them in, take them out, bring them in, take them out. Finally get back in here, and they actually, you know, after a while, they sit there submissively and listen. That can be, you can get weary doing that after a while. So it would be just as easy as to say, just let them go. Being consistent is hard at home. because it takes time. You're trying to get something done, and now you got to discipline your children, you got to correct your children, you got to train your child, or whatever you got to do. And all of that takes time. So I really think that the hardest part about child training is being consistent. But again, let's look back there at chapter 22 and verse 15. We've already read it. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That foolishness needs to be driven away. Therefore, it says, the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, there is a right place to correct the child. It's on the butt. That's the place that God has given you to discipline your child. Somebody said this, better to use the rod than multiple commands and threats. Some parents get into the habit of, I said, that's really a bad idea. You say, why is it such a bad idea? First of all, your kids won't respect and believe you. They know the first time you say that doesn't mean anything. So you say it again and they say, well, that doesn't mean anything. Whatever they know your number is, and maybe they figure three or four times now I'm really starting to push the envelope. I better maybe think about doing what I'm told to do. All right, your kids won't respect or believe you. Your kids will grow to learn you don't really expect out a lot out of them. They'll expect, well, you know, you told me once, but they know I'm not going to do that, so I'll just wait a few more times. Maybe they'll forget. Maybe they forgot to tell me to take out the trash, and I can luck out on it this day and, you know, not have to do that. So they'll grow to learn that you don't expect a lot out of them. Then they'll learn this. You don't really mean what you say. You repeat, you threaten, and then you know what happens to you? You get frustrated. Here's a principle that you might want to put into your kid's head. Slow obedience is no obedience. So they learn somehow that when you tell them once or twice, or once preferably, that they are to respond right away. One command. You know how much stress that would take away from you if that happened? Your home would be almost like stress-free. Not perfect, but it would relieve a lot of the stress, all right? Just try to teach them slow obedience is no obedience. You should give one command, and a child should obey. Now, let's pretend you go to work tomorrow. Some of you, it's not a pretend. You're going to go to work. And so your boss tells you to do something. How many times does he really expect to have to tell you to do that something? One time. He doesn't want to have to tell you over and over and over again. He expects to tell you once. Whatever your job is, he expects to tell you one time, and you should do that, all right? So you should give one command, and the child should obey. Here's another principle. Discipline must be done for the right reason and in the right spirit. Now go all the way back to chapter 3. And again, you can look at 13:24. We've read it. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go. Here in verse 11, it says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. That ought to be the right motive, and it ought to be for the right with the right spirit. The right motive is to train the child so that he will go the right path and in the right spirit of love. It should never, ever be done in anger. If you discipline a child in anger, that's when you're most likely to hurt or damage the child. That's the wrong time. Wrong motives and attitudes. What are they? Angry, vengeance, hatred, frustration, jealousy. Those things cause people to have wrong motives and wrong attitudes. Then discipline should have eternity in mind. Look at a couple more of these Proverbs again with me. Proverbs 22:6 and 23:14. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And 23:14 says this, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Child discipline should be have eternity in mind. Let me say this. Don't be short-sighted. Keep the future in mind. The parent who can look beyond the child's tears and beyond his own weariness, and there'll be times when you'll get weary, and beyond your own impatience to the day when the child will be grown, and even beyond that to the day the child leaves this life, will be a lot further ahead. Don't be short-sighted. discipline your children with eternity in mind. Now, one of the things that we try to teach our children is salvation, okay? You use discipline as you train your child to let them know of their sin. So let's make a scenario here real quick, and let's just say this. A child disobeys. Maybe you told your children to go into their bedroom, pick up their toys, or pick up their bedroom, or however you worded that. So you say, Susie, I want you to clean up your toys. Okay. So you go in the bedroom 15 minutes later, and you look, stick your head in the corner, and you look in there, in the place, you know, it looks like the average tornado went through there, and there's toys all over, and you can't even have, the only good thing is the floor never gets dirty, because you can't even see it sometimes, all right? So the child doesn't pick up the toys. They don't do it. Now, what did they do? They disobeyed your command. So you take the child, and you bring the child over to you close, and you make sure the child is listening and paying attention, whether it's with eye contact or however you do that. And you explain to the child what they did wrong. Now, I think, and some people may disagree with this, but I think you should use Scripture. Susie, or whoever's name I used a minute ago, the Bible says that you're to obey your mother and your father. And being your dad, I asked you to pick up your room, but you didn't pick up your room. What did you do? Did you obey me or did you disobey me? Well, I disobeyed you. That child knows now what they did wrong. And now you also have a second thing you can do. You can teach them you do wrong because you have a sinful nature and that you're a sinner and that you sin against God. You need to be very clear that they know what they did wrong. Otherwise, if you discipline them without them knowing what they did wrong, you know what Ephesians says we did? We provoke our children to wrath, and we don't want to be guilty of that. So we make sure they know what they did wrong. So, and I think that this is a good time if the kids are a little bit older to begin to ask heart-probing questions, such as, how do you think it makes Jesus feel, if you want to use that word, how do you think it makes Jesus respond or feel when you disobey him? You begin to get them thinking about, wow, how does this make God feel? How does this make mommy feel, or daddy, or anything like that? You smack your brother in the face. How would you like it? How would you feel if your brother came up and smacked you in the face? You just begin, because it's not kind, and you can use verses like that, be kind one to another, but you can think of verses to use, principles to use in that. So you begin to ask heart-probing question. Does Jesus want you to disobey? So you then, the child knows what they've done wrong. You instruct the child that you're disciplining them because God has instructed you as a parent to discipline the child. Maybe you mentioned some of these references that we've looked at. And you turn the child over on your leg, and with your little switch, remember the rod is a switch, it's like a stick. And somewhere I saw somebody was selling. They actually had like rods. They called them rods. You could buy a little switch for a rod. They were, I don't know, go out back and cut one off a tree. Just as cheap. It's a lot cheaper. But anyway, somebody was selling them. I have, and occasionally, we don't have Venetian blinds in here, I guess, with the twins. But I've seen people use those little rods on the end of it. Oh, they sting. I mean, they really can. You know it when you get smacked with one of those across your butt. So. But whatever, you pick it up and you the child knows that you're going to spank him. You turn him over and you spank him on the rear end. You say, how many times? That's up to you. Till you know that child, you've broken him. And that's going to vary from child to child. I don't know if there's a right way or a right number or a wrong number. I know that when I was a child, you know, when I'm in my 50s now. But when I rode the bus back and forth to school, our bus driver would throw us over the seat and spank us. If he'd do that today, he'd get sued. But one day, we were bad enough kids, so we got taken out of the back of the bus and we had to sit in the front of the bus. But that we weren't smart enough to figure out that, you know, we probably ought to behave a little better in the front of the bus. Our bus driver was kind of balding, and we're having a rubber band fight right behind him. And man, I let one go and smacked him right up behind the head. And he was not happy with little Jeffy, let me tell you. And he stopped that bus and pulled over. We were 30 minutes late getting home. He spanked a lot of kids that day on the way home, let me tell you, Mr. Seifert. And he threw us over the seat, and he kept whacking me and whacking. And I said, I am not crying. There is no way I'm caving into this guy. And he must have read my mind. And he went on and on and on. Finally, I said, I don't think this guy's ever going to stop smacking me. But finally, he got me to cry, and he broke me. It took a while. I mean, it took a lot of licks. I was pig-headed and stubborn, and I wasn't going to cave. But he finally got me to cave. I don't know how many times you'd have to smack your kid to get him to cave, but that's what you wanted him to do. After you do that, you should stand the child up. The child's probably crying softly by now. And you let the child know, you know, you did that because the Lord instructed you to do that. You let the child know that you love them and you did it because you love them. You should have a word of prayer with them. Then you send them on their way. And after you send them on their way, you know what you should never do again? Bring it up. Melissa's not here tonight. I remember when she first lived with us, and she would tell us that her mom would discipline her, and then for weeks on end, she would bring up the same thing over and over and over and over. You don't need to do that. Deal with it. Just like if a parent, if a husband and a wife have an argument, they deal with it, and it's over with. It's done with. Well, by the way, it should be done with. Okay, just like when you discipline your child. After you discipline your child, it should be done with. And it doesn't need to ever be brought up again. You move on. You forgave them. They've said they're sorry. They've apologized to you. And you move on. I don't know if I may even mention that, but throw that in there somewhere. Make sure they apologize to you and you've forgiven them, and that's it. It's a done deal. Doesn't need to be brought up over and over. I would mention this too. Some parents get a bad habit. Moms do this sometimes. I think it's a bad habit, ladies. When your father, especially if the kid is three, when your father gets home tonight, you're going to get it. Now this poor kid is dealing all day long with it. And then dad comes home 6-7 o'clock at night. That kid doesn't even remember what he did in the morning. You know, that was to him, that was, history, old history. You can't remember history. And so that's not a good idea when they're little. Deal with it immediately, get it over with immediately, and move on. All right? The Proverbs teaches a lot about child discipline and correction and training. And that's what we're all trying to do. And I trust that you will be able to train up champions for Christ. You know, this is Father's Day weekend coming up, and I hope everybody has a good time with their family, but we should be parents who desire to raise up children who are going to be something for the glory of the Lord. Father, training a child can be weary. It can be difficult. It can be hard work. In fact, it is hard work. But I pray, Lord, that you would help all of our parents. We have some couples here this evening that are becoming parents for the very first time. We have others that are here who have little babies, and we have others here who have children that are older. Some of their child training days and disciplining days and correction days are somewhat over. But Lord, we still have some of them. Then we have grandkids that come along, and we can help our children with their babies. I pray that you'll give us wisdom to do that, and I pray for every young couple as they grow up children, that they'll learn how to correct them and discipline them and teach them and train them in the way that they should go, so when they're old, they'll not depart from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Always have missionary letters. I've got a stack of them.